Teaching and learning during COVID-19 has presented unprecedented challenges. Where do you go for answers? Busted Pencils. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7.
Oh, it truly is the place for answers. If you want to talk about COVID-19 and teaching and learning in our school buildings, because it's starting to get to the point where it's like, you know, I want to think about what you said earlier, Joanna. It's like the confusion that resulted early on, which then created the kind of backlash against any type of sensibility. You know, it's like, okay, maybe in the early parts it was, quote, understandable as we were trying to understand the virus, right? You know, and concerns for, you know, overwhelming and taking all of the masks before medical professionals could get the hands on them that they were going to need. But here, you know, a year later, this 3 feet thing, and, you know, I left the last segment, and is this pressure, you know, because look, no, the laws of physics have not changed when you go into Joanna's classroom. They, you know, they're still there. So if you happen to expel some form of heavy breathing, coughing, or sneezing, it's going to travel the same way it used to travel before Friday.
Correct.
So this then, we're not listening to science for opening the DAR schools. We are listening to politically influential, angry white people.
Well, you know, as we take a look at all kind of our structures in America, right, and saying like, where and how does institutional racism exist? You know, I do see some parallels in terms of whose voices carry weight, whose voices carry weight in these debates. You know, was it on your show or somewhere else where, no, I was involved with an interview with a PBS NewsHour thing. And I believe a journalist there was saying that he had evidence that really it was like from the very, there's only like 15% of families that like truly, truly, truly want their children in school. There's a large percentage of people who really are kind of okay with it because they believe they trust us. Sure. You know, and are saying like, well, if the schools are open and available, then they must be okay.
Right.
And so that somehow there, this was just really not conveyed in mainstream media. Again, the accuracy about what was really happening.
But you know, that makes, you know, here it is. It makes sense. A 15 to 25% influential group of cranky, semi-wealthy, or middle of the class white people who have just, they're tired. They, you know, schools, you need to get back. As one of my teachers wrote in one of my surveys, it's like early in the pandemic, we were the heroes. Oh, now yeah. We're the zeros because for some reason, we're still concerned about spreading COVID. Early on, we were heroes because we were doing everything possible to keep kids learning. Now, for some reason, we're the big zeros who are absolutely against and we're pushing learning loss, which even that one where you know, talk about the media, you know, the media jumps on the McKinsey study of learning loss and then says we got to get kids back in the classrooms, particularly poor African-American kids who have to get back into schools. And, you know, and you know, there's another survey quote out of that group of people. They're largely saying they're not so sure they want to go back to school right now because of institutional racism and mistrust. And so all of this concern about getting those kids, it's like, I'm not sure you're really concerned about getting those kids back to school. I'm not sure you're really concerned about learning loss. I think you're really concerned about getting yelled at by the person who lives two doors away from me. And that could be any which direction. So neighbors, if you're listening, you don't know which one of you I'm talking about, who's just had it and said, you know what? I want my kid back in school because darn it, I'm tired and I've had enough now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings up the larger concern or issue of how our priorities established within our school. I mean, and we could trace back a lot of the other things that you talk about on this show to that, to those same set of influences in terms of, you know, what actually happens. Yeah, I look at it as like, who gets heard and and how do we even go about here? You know, because to be heard, you have to know these processes as well. You have to know to write to your superintendent, to show up to a school board meeting, you know? And so again, what percentage of the public is actually doing that? Or is that capturing, you know, truly the community, or and what things do we have in place to really reach out to the community to find out their real concerns? I don't know. These are age-old problems to me within public education.
They're age-old problems. These are gaslighting, whatever it is. But here we are again using a pandemic to push a policy. You talked about this, you know, who writes policies? God forbid researchers who are actually concerned about the mental welfare of kids truly measuring or actually assessing the quality of learning and things like that. And, you know, it's just like, I'm sorry, but this 6 feet to 3 feet, when you put that picture and that animation of the aerosol droplets spraying, at least present an accompanying new diagram that you have.
How quote, that's different now.
Yeah, right, scientifically yeah. Found out that, you know what, actually 6 feet was a little too cautious. We now understand 3 feet's okay, which would then make 3 feet in Target okay. Because mm-hmm. indoors, in a mask, we know that 6 feet of social distancing is what's required during a pandemic. 3 feet in a school building? Huh? How did we get there? So CDC, come on, let's get there. Joanna, you got about a minute. I'll give you the last word.
Well, I know that we wanted to discuss this whole 3 and 6, but overall something that I keep thinking about was on March 13th of 2020, when I learned that my school was closing, I do remember hearing that, you know, a pandemic of this proportion was going to be a 12 to 18 month thing. That's what the experts said right away. I just really wish that we would have come up with a solid 12 to 18 month plan for students mm-hmm. and schools at that time. You know, the whole like, and that we would have had the foresight and not waited for direction, that as educators, we would have taken the direction and said, if learning is going to be disrupted for 12 to 18 months for our students, we know this for a public health crisis, then here's what it should look like.
And there it is, straight from a teacher. God forbid we would have asked them. Teacher Joanna, thank you so much. Next half hour, candidate for DPI, Superintendent Joe Underly. More Busted Pencils back after the break. Let's go.